This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. In our Health and Living segment today, we're discussing saving the sight of seniors. Aging of the eye is normal for older adults, but this doesn't mean that vision loss and blindness is a normal part of aging. You can save your sight if you check your vision regularly to detect and even treat common age-related eye diseases. Now, Dr. V. Ulagendram Viswanathan, a consultant ophthalmologist and vitreoretinal surgeon from Subang Jaya Medical Center, is going to explain the signs, the symptoms and screening tests that older adults should keep their eye on. And that's what we're going to be discussing today. So welcome to the show, Dr. Ula. How are you today?
I am fine. Thank you very much for having me here today.
You're most welcome. You know, can I just ask you, what are some of the natural changes that occur in the eye and why does it even happen?
It's part of aging. A lot of changes occur in our body as we age. Similarly, the eyes also undergo such changes. So it can begin from the front part of the eye until to the back part of the eye. For example, our eyelashes can be reduced or it can become white. You can have loss of the orbital fat, giving you a sunken appearance of the eye. Sometimes the fat can protrude outwards and give you eye bags. You can have dry eyes, weakening of your eyelid muscles causing the ptosis. And so on. There are so many things. You can develop cataracts, glaucomas, retinal detachments, macular degeneration, optic neuropathy. So these are some of the signs we get as we age.
So eye bags is nothing to do with the lack of sleep, then? Is that what you're saying? I always thought that was the case. And, you know, yeah. I always thought going for facials, putting a cucumber on your eyes, all going to help with eye bags. But there's something going on internally.
Yeah, actually, there's a protrusion of the orbital fat against the thinning of eye muscles, so it comes forward.
I see. So now we know. Now we know. So several eye diseases are age-related. We often hear about age-related macular degeneration. We hear about cataracts. We hear about glaucoma. Can these actually be prevented, even among older adults? Or is it something that's just part of the aging process? We need to learn to cope with it.
Of course, prevention is always better than cure. But in this aspect, I don't think we can prevent aging. But we can always delay the onset of these diseases. How we delay is have a healthy lifestyle, have a good diet, exercise, reduce your BMI, good sleep, enough fluids. You wear protective goggles, UV filter goggles, so that it protects your lens and your macula. Avoid smoking at all costs. And if you have any metabolic diseases like diabetes, hypertension, lipidemia, make sure they are well controlled. So these are some ways you can delay the onset of aging.
What are these goggles that you're referring to?
Oh, goggles is just a normal, dark goggles you wear, but with a UV filter. Because UV lights are there, it can aggravate your cataract formation as well as your macular degenerations.
I see. Okay. Yeah. And are eye diseases in older adults, do you think that it is well recognized? It seems like it's underdiagnosed and undertreated in this country. Would you agree with me?
Actually, diagnosis is quite straightforward. Okay, because it's quite simple and the management also is straightforward. So I don't think there is a underdiagnosed or undertreatment because we have protocols and treatment regimes to follow. Only problem is patients may come late to see you or they may not realize that one eye is weaker than the other eye or the referral from other centers may be a bit late. So that's when we undertreat patients.
I see. Okay. Yeah. But then, you know, in Malaysia, we always go late. For anything, really. We always hope and pray that it will go away, but it doesn't really do that. So what are the consequences of under-recognizing eye diseases among older adults? Or, you know, coming late and diagnosing late?
If they come late, because the disease has got own natural progression. So if they come late, like for glaucomas, if they come late, there is irreversible nerve damage. Sometimes they can develop other secondary problems like vein occlusions, and this can lead to painful blind eye. If you take cataracts, if it becomes too late, then they develop glaucomas because of inflammation, And if you have retinal detachments over time, we don't treat, the eye becomes smaller and become vesicles. This is a natural progression we want to avoid.
So all cataracts can become glaucoma, or is it just some cataracts?
No, it's the very advanced hypermature cataracts that can become glaucomatous because of the leaking of the lens material into the anterior chambers, and also the as we age, the lens also becomes thicker and causes narrowing of the outflow due to secondary glaucomas.
What are symptoms of cataracts, Dr. Ulla?
Cataracts is a normal cloudiness of your natural lens. So normally they get glare, they have difficulty in night driving, and they get this fogginess appearance in a normal bright day.
So okay. These are something. Do you see younger people being diagnosed with cataracts now?
Yeah, we've seen, like, because there are congenital cataracts, which as soon as the baby is born, they get cataracts. There's developmental cataracts where they mature over a period of 17, 20 years. That's as young as that. Then there are people who take medication, herbal medications, for some reasons, which can combine steroids, then that can lead to very early cataract formations. Sometimes people with systemic illness, like, they do take some steroids that can also induce cataracts earlier.
Right. Okay. Steroids doesn't have to be for the eye, but steroids in general?
Yes, systemic steroids. Sometimes it's a mask for certain diseases.
Yep.
So that can cause secondary cataract disfigurement.
A lot of low vision issues, Dr. Ola, and we see an increasing number of people with low vision. Can that be fixed easily with maybe corrected glasses, with contact lenses? Do individuals have to undergo vision rehab, for an example?
See, it's a low visual age is different from what the low vision you are telling. Low vision is the, in my understanding, is that it can be corrected with glasses. So you are talking about refractive errors.
Yes.
So refractive errors definitely can be corrected by spectacles. You can do LASIKs. You can do cataract surgeries. So
The reason I'm asking is because, you know, it seems downhill from the age of 40. Everybody needs or starts to experience some amount of low vision, right?
Yeah.
So glasses, yes, is the most obvious one. So, what else can you actually do?
Apart from glasses, you can do some LASIKs to reduce refractive error. Sometimes we do reflective intraocular lens or cataract surgeries for this. So these are some of the ways.
Can we prolong, delay the low vision progression? I mean, at 40, can anyone do anything to avoid it or at least have it present later on? I mean, and I see some people at 40 need it immediately. Some people at 45 are still all right. I don't know whether they're pretending that they can see, but is there anything you can do to delay that?
I suppose you're talking with presbyopia. You're having problem reading near.
Yes.
Okay, that's not possible, I think, because but you see, there are some individuals who can see better. Because there is, if they're short-sighted, that short-sightedness will help you to see nearer, better. So, to wear the reading glasses is pushed a bit further away to the 50s. But if you are ametropia, you are 6'6", but I think by 40s, you will need to wear reading glasses.
Right. At some point, it'll catch up with you, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so, the more common age-related eye conditions are macular degeneration, there is glaucoma, there's cataracts, and also diabetic retinopathy, which is like the more serious sort of eye issues, I suppose. Are they very common in Malaysia? Which would you say are the most common?
All diseases are common. We normally see in our day-to-day practice, but the most common blinding disorder in this part of the country is cataract, followed by diabetic retinopathies. So these are very common. If we take AMDs, they are about 7 to 8% in the general in the population of age more than 40 years. But there is another one, a variant of AMD, which is called polypoidal choroidal vasculopathy. It can go up to 25 to 55% of the populations. Glaucoma is about 2% in general populations. Cataract, everybody gets cataract above the age of 60. And if you see diabetic retinopathy, there is a projection that by year 2030, 25% of the populations are going to be diabetic, out of which 10% of them will have advanced diabetic eye disease, which needs some form of surgical intervention.
Wow, that's less than 50%. And we, as you said, a lot of us are going to end up diabetic in this country. Yeah. We already have a large number. Cataracts, 60 and above, all of us are going to get cataracts, Dr. Ulla? Are you kidding me?
No, I think all of us will eventually develop cataracts.
I'm almost 10 years away from 60, Dr. Ulla. I mean, like, what? So we're all going to get cataracts then?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Even me.
So we can't do anything about it then?
Yeah, you can have a healthy lifestyle now. You can wear goggles, UV filter. That's about it.
Okay. All right. And I suppose now with screens, more and more of us in middle age spending a lot of time on screen time compared to, in the past, will that accelerate cataracts and other age-related eye conditions?
Because we talked about tabletops and laptops, I think there is an inbuilt system there which will prevent some sort of radiation coming outwards. So you can put some filters there to make it more safer. But I don't think the handphone has that kind of filters. So I don't know whether that can aggravate your AMDs or cataract formation.
Okay. Yeah. We'll come back and find out more about misconceptions. A lot of us think that we can live with eye conditions as long as we can. And I suppose that's what leads to the late presentation of eye issues when it comes to age-related conditions. So we'll come back and find out some of these misconceptions. What are the challenges or the barriers for people trying to get help for these eye conditions? That's coming up next on Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. Dr. V. Ulagendran Viswanathan, consultant ophthalmologist and vitreoretinal surgeon from Subangjaya Medical Center, on the line with me. We're discussing eyesight issues in seniors. I don't even know whether it's used the word senior because, you know, from the age of 40 onwards, I think all of us start to experience some kind of eye condition, right from the basics of low vision to the presentation of others, I suppose, depending on how well you've actually lived your life. But let's talk about misconceptions. Dr. Ulla, what are some, a lot of us think that we can live with this, right? And that we can just correct some of these conditions with glasses. Talk about the burden of vision loss amongst older adults in society. How does that affect day-to-day life?
Yeah, vision is extremely important because you need it for mobility. And if you lose your sight, then there's no way you can move around and you're always dependent on somebody. As compared to others who cannot speak or they cannot hear, they can at least they are independent. But if you lose your sight, then it's a major issue. But the problem is sometimes you don't realize that the other good, better eye is compensating for a weaker eye and you tend to neglect it. So that's when you have issues.
Okay. So are you saying that most of us will know that there is something not right and the other eye is compensating?
Yeah, most of us will realize, there is some form because you do not get this depth perception very well.
Right.
So they will realize it.
Right. What are some of the other misconceptions that, you know, why people sort of hesitate to come forward to get their eyes checked?
I think people are afraid that they may have some disease and then a lifelong medication, eye drops, all that some might deter you from going to the hospital. They may seek alternative treatment and finally end up being worse. So,
you know, I've always said that checking your eyesight, checking your hearing, going to the dentist should be a way of life right from a very, very young age.
Yes.
How do we instill that in people? Because, you know, you shouldn't be waiting for something to happen. And this should be something that we do all the time. How do we make that sort of service more accessible to people?
Okay, anybody who's above the age of 40 should have their eyes checked on a yearly basis. If there is any diseases, then you follow the schedule. But if you have family history of glaucoma, you have family history of retinal issues, and if you are short-sighted, if you are myopic, I think you should go for regular eye checkup as soon as you have these issues, because you can develop retinal breaks and holes as we age. So this is how, the moment you have glasses, you're wearing glasses, then I think you should check your eyes quite regularly.
Okay. Are there challenges you feel when it comes to access to screening services or for people to do regular checkups? Because, you know, everyone thinks you have to come and see an ophthalmologist. That's not really the case.
Well, the screening is a must, but how I feel is that we do regular health clinics where in collaboration with our GP friends and sometimes Lions Society or Rotary Club. So we do go to the periphery and screen them. So and also the hospital, the government hospitals, they have a good healthcare workers where they can take fundus pictures in the clinic siata and send to the nearby hospital for review. So the outreach is there. So the only problem is patients who cannot make it or they're bedridden, they can't go to the clinics, and then that's the issue. As long as they can walk or even they're on the wheelchair and somebody can bring them, I think that's how we should go and look at it.
And who are these professionals? Do they have to be doctors? I mean, what about, because so many people in out there, you know, the optometrists, you've got the orthoptist and ocularist, you know, explain who they are?
Well, ophthalmologists are actually doctors who later specialize and become an eye doctor. Optometrists, it's a degree program where they deal with glasses, spectacles, and give you, they complement your treatment and they really help you a lot. So these are really important people. Like in the Western countries, the post-op cases like cataracts, everything, they do send to the optometrist for review. If you take orthoptists, they are actually a branch of optometry where they deal with strengthening the eye muscles and they deal with the lazy eyes, amblyopia, which is very helpful for us because we need to strengthen the eye muscles before we do a screen surgery. So these are very important people. If we take ocularists, they make ocular prostheses. In some cases, they have severe trauma. You have to remove the eyeball immediately. So they make you look very nice so that you be more presentable and you're more self-confident. So these are very important people. So it's a combination of them which really helps to optimize treatment for the patients.
Okay. And let's talk about treatment of some of these eye conditions. AMD, for an example. To what extent can you prevent vision loss or even blindness with somebody with AMD?
AMD doesn't cause sudden loss of vision and so on. They normally come with central scotomas. They have difficulty to read, reading and seeing small prints. So definitely the treatment, we have got a regular injections. Sometimes we combine with the photodynamic therapy. And we need several injections over the years. So over the years, if you take 2 years, it was up to 8 to 10 injections. Now we are currently reduced to 5 to 6 injections per year. And they really help you save your central vision. So this is how we go.
Yeah, and there's also something called wet age-related macular degeneration. Is that very common?
Yeah, the wet one is the one which is we normally give injections. Mm-hmm. The dry one, we just observe, give them vitamins. But the wet one is the one we actually treat, we monitor them, and that's the more devastating feature of AMD.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm going to go through in a while, but a lot of eye-related issues, age-related, require compliance towards either its eye drops or its injections and all of that. I'm sure compliance generally worldwide is a problem when it comes to anything. What would you say to people to ensure that they are compliant when it comes to their eye issues?
Well, compliance means the patient doesn't understand. To me, the patient doesn't understand. So it is the duty of the doctor to explain the natural cause of the disease, not only to the patient, but also to the relatives, because sometimes they have difficulty to walk at camp. So if you really explain to them that you need this treatment to prevent blindness, not only to them, but their family members, I'm sure they'll be more compliant.
Okay, and when it comes to age-related macular degeneration, can you actually stop blindness?
If you don't take treatment, definitely you can lose your central vision. But if you take regular injections, we can prevent your blindness.
Okay, are you just prolonging or reducing the speed at which you experience vision loss? Is blindness inevitable or can you reverse it?
Certain conditions you can reverse it, like you have retinal detachments, they go completely blind, but after surgery, if the surgery is successful, they do get at least about 90% of their vision. In AMDs, we can prolong the visual loss. Of course, in cataracts, the moment you operate, they can see you very well. So,
yeah, I know. I've heard people say, you know, my God, it's like looking through, it's like high definition all over again after such a long time. So cataracts are the ones that seem most most positive and you know, helps with you carry on with life in a much clearer light, right?
Yes.
What about glaucoma?
Well, it's an inherited condition.
All right.
If you have family history of glaucomas, I think you should get regular checkups because the nerve damage is irreversible.
Okay. And these are eye drops, right, that reduce the pressure in the eye. Is there any particular group of people who is more prone to glaucoma?
I mean, the particular group, we can say that maybe the Chinese community, they have more of narrow angle glaucomas. Sorry, the Indian community more of narrow angle glaucomas. The Chinese community, they have more open angle glaucomas. There is some race distribution.
And that is because of the structure of the eye?
Probably, yes.
Okay. What about diabetic retinopathy? That involves what? Management of it involves what? Injections or laser treatment? How do you manage diabetic retinopathy?
If there's a patient with new patients who has been diagnosed to have diabetes, they should be referred to the eye doctor immediately. So during the follow-up, we can see how they progress. If they go into a severe non-proliferative diabetic retinopathy, then that's when we will start giving them laser treatment. And if there is a swelling coming along with them, then we will give them injections. So it's a combination of laser and injections.
You know, Dr. Ola, a lot of younger people are being diagnosed with diabetes. You know, to a certain extent, it can be reversed if you change your lifestyle. And if you were to get your diabetes under good control, does that mean it will help with diabetic retinopathy as well?
Yeah, definitely be helpful. Suppose you have mild diabetic retinopathy, and if you able to control your sugars very well, we can reverse it.
Okay, so that would be the underlying issue. Easily treatable or prevented, prevents diabetic retinopathy by managing your diabetes.
Definitely.
Okay.
It's reversible.
So diabetic retinopathy is reversible?
In mild diabetic retinopathy, it is reversible.
I see. So you're very confident of that,
yes.
Provided you manage the diabetes.
Yes, very well.
Okay. So and, the ones, sorry?
And it doesn't allow you to progress to the second stage. Even if you have mild diabetic retinopathy, if you control the sugars very well, it will remain like that for the rest of your life.
Okay. So once you have it, you can't reverse it?
If in mild cases, I have seen some cases which is reversible. But if you have good control in mind, it can remain there for very long.
Right, because there are many stages of diabetic retinopathy.
Yes.
Okay. So the ones that can be reversed, I suppose, are things like cataracts and to a certain extent, diabetic retinopathy.
Cataracts, I don't think it's reversible. It's part of aging. So.
Yeah, but you can fix it, lah. So for us, it's reversing because you can see again. It's a lot. Okay, so it is not reversing. It's fixing it.
Yes, that's right.
So I'm just curious, Dr. Ola, once you fix your cataracts and you've got the new lens inside and all of that, can cataracts happen again? Can it recur?
You see, when we do a cataract surgery, we are removing most of it, except the small capsule which you leave behind to support the lens. otherwise lens will drop, more complications will come. So that capsule can thicken over a period of time. So that's when we will go and do some laser procedure in your clinic itself and the problem is settled there. So that's why we say secondary cataract, but actually it's a capsule opacification.
Okay. When older people come and see you with eye issues, Dr. Ulla, what have been your observations? What are they afraid of? Do they take it seriously? Would you have a message for all of us, 40 years and above, perhaps, when it comes to saving our eyesight or at least making sure we have a good quality of life with better eyesight as we grow older?
The fears of we have two fears, the doctor's fears and also the patient's also fear. We fear that when we make a diagnosis, then patient may not accept them. And if sometimes it's a financial issue, so that way we can refer them to the government hospitals, but we really don't know whether they go or they go for alternative treatment and they'll come back first. The other fear is for the patient, because all patients, they want to become better. But we know that any procedure you do, there is some mild complications. For example, if we give intravitreal injections, we can cause some bleeding, we can cause infection, you can damage the surrounding structures. But this is all can be handled by the ophthalmologist very well. But sometimes you have systemic complications as well. If we take AMDs, the injections in 4% of them who are normal, healthy, with no metabolic diseases, they can get myocardial infarction or cerebrovascular accident. So some patients might think I may be in that group, but the positive patients, 96%, I can get better. So that's how they see it.
Right. You spoke about alternative treatment. Is that a big issue with eye-related conditions?
Not really. I don't think there are people who can do, but they will at least try. And by the time they try and come, maybe a little late.
Right. Okay. So you don't want to mess with your eyesight, do you?
No, definitely not.
Would you have a message for us on saving the sight of seniors?
Just lead a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, and everything else will be fixed.
Yes.
Well, I love it when the doctors say this because, you know, it just goes all just above our heads, just goes right over our heads because healthy lifestyle is so much, right? It's hard work.
Yes.
Is there anything that we should be eating in particular? And, you know, there's also this question about supplements all the time when it comes to the eyes. What would be your advice?
There are some specific supplements which is helpful for you, which contain xanthine, magnesium, vitamin C. These are medications which really help you to stabilize your retina. Other vitamins, I'm not very sure, but these vitamins are really helpful and been proven to look after your retina well.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us today. That was Dr. Ulagendran Viswanathan, consultant ophthalmologist and vitreoretinal surgeon from Subangjaya Medical Center, speaking to us about eye conditions in older age on Health and Living, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.